Now, as I was preparing this lesson this week, I had an interesting thing happen. I never thought about this before, but I know the Lord put it in my heart, so I wrote it down here, what he said to me, basically. What came in my heart as I was meditating on this lesson. And I just wrote it down, so let me just read it. And the title of tonight's lesson is Speaking Words God Can Use. And we're going to talk a little bit about something tonight called the Faith Partnership. And I'll explain in a minute what that is. We all know what the law of words is, right? That's just Mark 11:23. Jesus said, whosoever shall say and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he says. So what you believe in your heart to be true, and you say with your mouth, has powerful significance to your life. Okay? And it can be negative or positive. That's why we need to get into the Word of God and find out what the Word says about our situation, rather than what just the world has to say about it. Because if we just repeat what the world has to say about things, we're not going to be any better off than they are. But as we change what we say, what God's Word says, then we're going to see some of the promises coming past.
Now, this, you're on speaking with the mouth, you're actually physical mouth needs right. to be used, right? Not
right.
just thinking.
Right. Right. It's not thoughts. See, your brain, you can have thoughts, but those thoughts, without giving words to them, are seeds unborn. You know, but once you speak, you sow a seed. Jesus talked about words being seeds. Seeds hitting soil will grow. Some things are good to have growing, some things aren't so good to have growing. But right, thoughts. But you got to be careful with thoughts, because if you think about something long enough, you know, if you think about the wrong things, you're eventually going to say the wrong things, okay? That's why the Word says in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you got in your heart is what you're going to start to say. And so the only way you can really control your tongue, and that's a lesson that's coming up, and I'll get to that later, but the only way you can really control your tongue is to change what's in here. And the way you do that is by getting in the Word of God and beginning to gradually change your view of things from the world's view to the Word's view. That's why it says in Romans 12:2, to be not conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means your mind needs to be renewed. When you come into the Christian experience, your mind still has a lot of stuff hanging on to it that was based upon the world's way of thinking. But God wants us to get into the Word and get His thoughts in our mind. So we gradually get our mind renewed to the Word and gradually replace what's in our heart, so that when something strikes in our lives, what comes out of our mouth will be something that we put in our heart from the Word of God and not just something negative. So to answer your question, Chuck, thoughts don't have anything to do with this, except for the fact that if you think about something long enough, you're liable to speak it, and then it does have power. Okay. Yes, Diane.
What if you say, I'm going to kind of put a damper on things, but I think a lot of people think this. What if you ask for something that you shouldn't be asking for?
You mean like in a prayer or something like
that? Yeah.
Well?
Yeah.
You can answer your own question, can't you?
But, you know, maybe in your mind, it's okay, but not as far as God is concerned.
Again, that's why we need to find out what His promises
mm-hmm.
are here, and get our
mm-hmm.
words lined up with what He promises.
Mm-hmm.
And see, everything really, Diane, that we need in life is covered in the Bible, in some promise or another.
Mm-hmm.
I think prayers that go forth that aren't scriptural prayers just basically go unanswered a lot of times, and that's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is to get our prayers lined up with God's Word. See, because that's the only way you have faith in the first place. How does faith come?
Mm-hmm.
Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so, as you get in the Word of God, and you read the Word of God, faith will come in your heart, and then you can pray and get answers for your prayers. A lot of the stuff that we pray for, we don't see answers to, simply because it's just something that came out of our own mind or something, and it isn't the Word of God, and there was no faith there, because faith cometh by hearing the Word of God, what it says. See, that's the way God set this thing up to work. That's kind of the safety valve in this whole thing. God set it up that faith will come in your heart when the Word is spoken or preached. When you got saved, that's what happened. Someone spoke the gospel message of salvation. It went in your heart, took root, and you acted upon it. Okay? Faith comes by hearing God's Word. And as you begin to replace the world stuff with Word stuff, you begin to replace the unbelief in the world with faith that comes by hearing what God's Word says. And that faith acted upon then causes results in your life. See, it's not faith alone that's enough. We're going to talk about that tonight. It's faith plus action. Faith without action, nothing would happen. For example, when you got saved, you could believe Jesus rose from the dead. You could believe he took the sins of the world. But unless you act upon that belief and actively take him as your Savior, you're not saved yet, right? So I know that for a perfect fact, because I went to church all my life since I was a little tiny kid, every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I believed in Jesus. Okay, I was taught that from the very beginning. But I got up to 34 years old and suddenly was confronted with the fact that I was going to hell if I died. That I had never been saved. Why? Because I had never acted on that promise. See, it's the combination of faith plus action. That's why it says in James 2:17, it says, faith without corresponding action is dead, being alone. Faith by itself is not enough. Faith plus action is what gets you saved, is what gets you healed. See, you can't just be a closet faith person. You've got to speak your faith, and we're going to see that tonight. Spoken faith and active in faith gets results.
In other words, your thinking starts getting along the same lines as God's thinking.
Right.
Get yourself in line.
Right. Uh-huh. Now God, see, can act upon that because it's in line mm-hmm. with His Word.
Mm-hmm.
See, God can't do things that are not in line with His Word.
Yeah.
Sometimes we ask Him to do things that, not on purpose, but because we don't
right.
know.
Ignorance,
right. And that's what he said, mm-hmm. my people are destroyed for a lack of mm-hmm. knowledge. Okay. Now, let me just read you what I believe the Lord put in my heart a few days ago. Now, here's what it is. Two things. Whenever you read the Bible, like, for example, Jesus, accounts of Jesus healing someone, all right? God wants us to remember two things. Number one, that Jesus always healed everyone that came to him. You'll never find a place in the Bible where anyone came to Jesus and turned him down. Now there's scripture for that too. You go through the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, and it says, and he healed them all. And he healed them all. And they came out of all the cities around throughout Judea, and he healed them all. And then Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Alright, that's what the Word of God says. Now, number one, you need to realize, as we read these accounts tonight, that it was always Jesus' will to heal all. Alright? That's number one. Number two, you need to keep in mind that the Holy Ghost inspired men to write down the words that he wants in this Bible. Okay? Because everybody here believes that, right? That this word is inspired by God. Now, so what the accounts in here of healing and whatever we might be reading, and tonight we're going to read about a few healings that Jesus performed, were everything that's written down in here is important because the Holy Spirit filtered out all the things that weren't germane to what he was trying to get across. Okay? And so everything that we read here is important in these accounts. All right? And also keep in mind that in each account, Jesus never started out with the desire not to heal and was talked into him. No, he always wanted to heal. But he had to get the people to the place that they could receive their healing. See, what we're going to see tonight is that Jesus, in many cases, worked around to get people to make statements of faith. And he might say something kind of bizarre at first, but it drew out the person's faith so they could receive. So number one, I want you to keep in mind that every word in here, every thing Jesus said that people say back to him is important for it wouldn't be in the Bible. That's number one. Number two, keep in mind that it's always Jesus' will to heal. He always. Now, what he's really trying to do with these people we're going to read about tonight is establish with them faith partnership. What do I mean by a faith partnership? Here's what I mean by a faith partnership. The people that come for healing have a part to play, and God has a part to play. When the people do their part, and God does his part, we have what I call faith partnership established. Now, our part, or the people coming for healing's part, is to exhibit faith. And to exhibit faith in such a way that they act their faith. Okay, that's the people's part. God's part, then, is to bring the power to effect healing, the deliverance, whatever it might be. Because the people haven't got that power, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit has that power. The Holy Spirit in us has that power. But without the Holy Spirit, we don't have that power, right? It's only God. But that Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, he didn't these people at this time, we're going to read about it. But he does us. So, as we open our Bibles tonight, I think it's going to be kind of fun here. Let's just keep our eyes open here for what the people say and what Jesus says. Remember, words believed in the heart, spoken with the mouth, are important. Okay? And look how Jesus uses words to bring these people to a point of faith partnership with him so they can receive their healing. See, here's what I'm trying to get at. So many times we think that it was all God or all Jesus in these healings. But we're going to see tonight that it was the people's faith that played a big role. Jesus was always saying, according to your faith, daughter, thy faith is made people. What do you believe? All those kinds of things. In other words, he wasn't just batting his guns. This was important. Okay, so let's open our Bibles tonight. Well, actually, the first case, I've written it down here so that we can just read it together. And we have a condition here with a woman with a demon-possessed daughter. There are two places in the Bible where this episode is described. One's in Matthew 15 and one's in Mark 7. And they're both the same episode. So what I've done, since they both have good parts, is I've taken pieces from both of those and put them together so we can see it all together here. Okay? And you can go home and look it up in your Bible and see that this is an accurate reflection. But I used to have a Bible that had that, by the way. Did you ever see what do they call it? Not a parallel Bible, but something else. Where they took all the Gospels and they took what every Matthew, Mark, or Luke had to say about the same episode and they merged it all together so you could read everything about it in one place. It's kind of interesting. Okay, so let's read this. And behold, a Greek woman of Canaan, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Now, an unclean spirit is a particularly bad type of evil spirit. They're all bad, but this one is a real wicked one, okay? If you go back and read about unclean spirits in the Bible, you'll find out that the demon, the madman of Gadara, had an unclean spirit. Remember him? He was the guy who would wander through the cemetery, cutting himself with stones and screaming and carrying on. Can you imagine having a daughter that had this kind of a spirit that would throw herself around and try to, another attribute of these unclean spirits is they try to kill the person they're in. Throw them in fires, try to drown them. All these episodes are discussed in the Gospels for this type of spirit. Well, this Greek woman, Canaan, had a young daughter who had an unclean spirit. It'd be horrible, wouldn't it? She heard of Jesus. And so she came to Jesus and fell at his feet, crying unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So she's got a problem, right? And the problem is that her daughter has one of these unclean spirits. And her mother had heard of Jesus, evidently heard that he delivered other people that had evil spirits, and came to Jesus. Now that seems reasonable, doesn't it? If you heard of Jesus and he was ministering in an area and you had a problem, it would be natural to have hope and come to hope that maybe you could receive something. And she fell at his feet, crying. In other words, she's trying to get Jesus' attention here. And she's saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. my daughter is grievously vexed to death. Have mercy on me. But he answered her not a word. Now remember, Jesus' goal here is always to heal and to deliver. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She crying after us. In other words, this must have been going on for some time. But he answered and said to her, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What does that mean? Anybody got any ideas on
that? It's for all of us.
Hmm?
It's for all of us.
Well, what it means here is
she was that not
he was sent to the
Jews.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he's telling her that I'm not sent to you, woman of Canaan, Greek woman of Canaan. She was a Greek.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't a Jew. And so at first when you read this, it sounds like Jesus is saying, I'm not going to heal you. But you got to realize his objective is always to heal. Now, I looked this up this week. Do you know? Jesus healed other people that weren't Jews. Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't sent to those people, but he did on occasion heal them.
Mm-hmm.
He healed the Samaritan leper, if you go look up in Luke, and he also healed the centurion servant. The centurion was a Roman centurion that came with. Remember that? So Jesus on occasion would heal others. But listen, his objective here is to elicit something from her. See, all he's heard from her so far is what?
Have mercy. I've got a daughter that's...
Have mercy. But see, it isn't Jesus' mercy that's going to get this person healed. And that is a revelation to a lot of people. He has mercy. He has compassion. But that is not what moves God. Now, before you throw me out of here, listen to me. The thing that moves God is faith. God is not emotional in the way he heals. He heals because of faith. That's the primary reason. Now, that isn't the only time God can heal. He's God, okay? But primarily, there needs to be faith on the person's part. So, to us, have mercy sounds like a good way to approach the situation. But we've got to think of this from God's point of view. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. God is a faith God. We've got to get that through our heads. So she's saying, have mercy on me. Help me. My daughter's grievously vexed. And these are all true statements. But Jesus wants to help this woman. We've got to keep that in mind. All right? And so he says to her, I'm not sent to you, basically what he's saying. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him. Lord, help me. Well, that doesn't sound like she's changed yet, does it? That's still, have mercy, you know. My daughter's grievously vexed. Lord, help me. So Jesus is going to come back again. Say a little stronger this time. But he answered and said, let the children first be fed. It is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Wow. They called the Gentiles dogs, the Jews did. The children are the children of Israel. And he's saying, let the children first be fed. In other words, they have the first right to heal, he's saying. It is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. See what he's trying to do? He's trying to get her off of this, help me, have mercy, and have her say something that he can move in and help her with. And boy, that got to her. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. See, that's what he's after. He's asked her to make a statement of her faith. Not a statement of her fear. Not a statement of Jesus have mercy. Not a statement of Jesus help me. A statement of faith that he can operate on. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dog eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And now Jesus, we can just see him going inside. All right. Good for you, baby. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as you will. Now listen to this. For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. See how the Lord works out in there? All along, Jesus wanted to heal this woman. But he needed some help. He needed her to help establish a faith partnership with you. Now, Jesus has the power of the Holy Spirit there to cast that demon out, but he needs some faith on her part here, too. And while she's talking about mercy and help me and all this, that isn't doing it. So Jesus kind of gets to her. He says, it's not right to take your children's bread and cast the dogs. Well, I think her dander got up a little bit there. She says, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table. In other words, to you, healing is only a crumb. It's so easy for you, Jesus, that it will just be a crumb. Just a crumb is all I need from you. A crumb of healing, and she'll be healed. That's faith talking now. Now we got a little something to work with here. And Jesus says, go ahead.
Also, she shows faith because she gets upset.
Yeah.
She says, no, you have something and I want it.
Right.
Because she could say, you have something I want.
Tenacity. Be tenacious.
But she acknowledges because of her emotion. That acknowledges that she believes it, and he does.
Right. But see, up to that point, she hadn't said anything like that. And you know what? She would never have said anything like that if Jesus hadn't made the statements he made.
Right.
So the statements that Jesus made was to pull her out. Come on, lady, you see, come on, help me here. Give me something to work with here. And finally she says, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off your master's table. She says, lady, for that saying, go thy way. For that saying. We know it was the words that she said, because the Lord says here, for that saying, go thy way. Saying, words, see, words believed in the heart and spoken with the mouth have power. Jesus wanted to establish a faith partnership with her. She had the faith, but she hadn't acted on it yet. And Jesus got her to act on that faith and speak that faith, and when she did, God hooked up with that, and her daughter became healed. You see that?
She didn't give up.
But see, the thing was, she could have walked away. Uh-huh. After the first couple times.
She could have said,
well, I tried it. Didn't work. And she stayed in there. She didn't give up. And furthermore, for this saying, Jesus said, for this saying, for what you said, you can go away. Your daughter's healed because of what you said. See how powerful words are.
Is this
saying the right thing?
Bread, could this be considered the bread of life?
Heal it, the children's bread. Healing, in this case, would be the children's bread. In other words, he was sent to the Jews primarily. And he said, it's not proper to take the children's bread, heal it, and give it to the dogs. He just used that as an example of something that gives life. Yes, healing would bring life. But he said, that's the children's bread. That's for them. But he got her kind of, and she was tenacious. She's kind of in there, and he said, for this sake, pull your way, daughter.
I also think it just goes to show you, too, how much that he loves the Jewish people. He always brings that out.
Well, he was sent to the Jews.
I know. But, I mean, you know, a lot of people question that today. He's still the same.
Well, he loves us all, doesn't he? Uh-huh. I mean, he loves us all the same. But, yes, they were the first ones. They were the chosen people. But he brought us all in now, so we have equal status there. But yeah, that's interesting. But isn't that interesting how God worked here to do this? Remember, Jesus wanted to heal, and every word here means something to this.
And he heals in different ways because he didn't say, you have to bring your daughter here.
Right.
Yeah. And others, he has touched them to...
Now, see, she has authority over her daughter. That's the only thing you have to realize. Until they reach a certain age, you have authority over your children. Now, when they get to be, I don't know, 18 or 19 or 20 years old, then they have their own will. And we'll see that again in here. Jairus had a daughter. She was only 12, so he could comfort his daughter. Okay, now let's turn to Mark 6:7. We'll look at another account. I just want to see a few of these because I think they're interesting. It shows us how powerful words are. Now, Mark 6:7, we're just going to take a look at one verse. I just want you to see something. Why don't one of you others read this verse? Just read the seventh verse. Who would like to read that? Martha, would you like to read it?
calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits.
My Bible says unclean spirits. You're saying clean spirits? Evil spirits, unclean spirits, whatever. It says here what? He called to him the... Who did he call to him?
The 12.
We know who those are, don't we? And he began to send them forth two by two, and he gave them power over what?
The unclean.
Unclean spirits or evil spirits. Okay, I want you to see that. That's in Mark 6, 7. Now turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. I want you to keep in mind that Jesus gave them power over evil spirits, or unclean spirits. King James are unclean. Alright, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. Now Jesus has just returned from the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that, when he went up there and was transfigured before them? He went up there and his garments became white, glistening, his face shone as the sun, and Elijah was there and talked to him, and his father said, "This is my beloved son, who I'm well pleased." And Peter, James, and John were with him, and they were really kind of blown out of the water with the whole thing. And now they're just returning from this mountain. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. The reason they were greatly amazed, if you look at the account in Matthew, it says his face was shining as the sun when he came down from the mountain. So they were greatly amazed. And he asked the scribes, "Why are you questioning with them?" In other words, "Why are you questioning my disciples?" He wants to know the scribes. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit." And in Luke 9:42, this same account calls this spirit an unclean spirit. So evidently a dumb spirit is one type of an unclean spirit. And wherever he takes him, he tears him, and he foams, and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." Now why would he say, "O faithless generation"? Well, we just read. Martha just read. In Mark 6, 7, he said, "I have given you authority over unclean spirits." And they're saying right here, "We can't cast him out." And Jesus is saying, "Use your faith. I told you, you have authority over this unclean spirit." Okay. Verse 20, "And so they brought him unto him. And when he saw him," this is the spirit inside the boy, "straightway the spirit tore the child, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed, foaming in his mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long ago since this came upon him?' And he said, 'Of a child.'" In other words, he's had this evil spirit ever since he was a child. "And oft times it cast him into the fire, and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Here we go again. This sounds like the "have mercy" business, doesn't it? Related. "Have mercy on us. Help me. If you can do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." See how Jesus turned this around? He said, "If you can do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said, "It's not me. What can you believe?" In other words, listen. Jesus said, "If you can do anything," the man said, and Jesus turns right around and says, "It's not me. If you can believe." You see what Jesus is doing? All things are possible to the one that believes. In other words, what Jesus is saying to him is, "Fellow, it's not me, it's not whether I can do anything or not, it's what you can believe." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Now that almost sounds like a contradiction. "Lord, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief." Well, you know, you got to meditate on this for a while to figure out what's going on here. But what the man is really saying is, Lord, I do believe in my heart. It's my head that can't understand this whole thing. Did you know that you can get something from the Lord with faith in the heart but unbelief in the head? In other words, unbelief in the head simply says, I can't figure out how God's going to do this, but I just know He is. I just know. Now, like your salvation, you don't know everything about that. You don't know everything, how it all worked out, but you know you're saved, don't you? It's like you go plug a lamp into the wall. You may not understand electron theory, which way the electrons go, do they travel positive, negative, or negative to positive, but you do have faith that when you plug that lamp into the wall and turn that switch, the light's going to go on, don't you? You don't have to understand it all with your head. All you got to do is believe it in your heart. And that's what this man is saying here. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. In other words, my head is what's driving me crazy here, this poor child of mine. But I do believe, Lord. I do believe. But see, now, would this man have said this if Jesus had kind of corrected him? See, this man came off appealing like the woman did to his mercy and compassion and said, Lord, if you could do anything, help me. And Jesus said, man, it's not what I can do. It's what you believe. It's important. Give me something to work with here. And the man says, I do believe. Now he's got to see how Jesus led him into that statement.
In verse 22 there, if he'd have just left the if out.
Yeah. Lord, you can do anything.
You can do anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? The if makes it negative. Without it, it's positive.
Good point, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. If you just left the if out.
Yeah.
You can do anything, Lord. See, that's what we do so many times. The only reason I'm bringing this up, I mean, we're trying to learn something here. We do this all the time. I know I do. Oh, Lord, if you can do anything, have mercy. Help me. God said, come on, come on. Give me something to work with here. Come on. Let's have a statement of faith that I can get behind here. And see, the thing is, Jesus, the living Word of God, was here then to help coach them a little bit. But now, we have the written Word of God to help us. Jesus isn't walking around every day and saying, hey, now, here, you know, Mike, let me help you a little bit with this. He knows we got this word. He knows we can read this. Okay? And that's what we're doing tonight. We're going over some of these things and kind of bringing back some of the things that Jesus was teaching them over 2,000 years ago that will work today for us. So sometimes we need to get off the, Lord, it's so horrible what I'm going through. And just say something positive that God can work with. I know it's tempting to do it the other way, but God is telling us, okay, I know you're sad and I'm trying to help you, but help me help you, is what God's saying. Help me help you.
Yeah. I think
just part of the footnote on that 9:23 is a person who truly believes will set the limits on what God can do.
Yeah.
And so, this man, very well opens it up.
And they will also believe, say something to help God do it. I mean, we don't realize sometimes we have a part to play. Somewhere we've gotten the idea that God will just do whatever He wants to do, and there's nothing we can do to change it, and we'll just sit back as Christians, and if God wants to do this, He will. If He doesn't, He won't. And whatever happens, happens, and we'll just have to make the best of it. And that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we have a part to play. In this case, our part is to make a faith statement, something God can act upon. See, I might react to your need. I might react to your, have mercy, Mike. I need $10. Can you help me out? Well, sure, I'll get you help. But God's saying, I want to help you beyond today. I want to help you learn something here. I want to help you learn something that will change your life. And I want you to start speaking words of faith about the situation. Establish a faith partnership with me. Yes, I'll go to bat and I'll provide the power, but I want you to provide some faith here. And see, and this is what He's doing in all these cases here.
Do you ever notice that God doesn't like whiners or complainers too?
Right.
You know, see, that falls into that category.
Right.
The negativeness.
Yeah. And then also I was going to bring up about... should we always pray for and ask for God to help us with our faith then?
Not with our faith.
I mean, for us to believe our unbelief?
Not now, because Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. What we need to do as Christians is get into the Word of God, find out what the Word says about our situation, and say that, and begin to act on that. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because that's all a Word is given. Just that's how we got saved. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, to plead.
But I mean, this person here said, you know, help my unbelief.
Right.
And, you know, that could have been just his head part, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's his head. I don't understand how you're going to do this, Lord, and it's just overwhelming. But I do believe. Uh-huh. Somehow inside, I know. I do believe. But help my unbelief in my head, you know. He was, you can have both. Haven't you had both?
Yeah.
Haven't you not been able to understand something?
But I mean, it's kind of hard to, you know.
When we talked about the law of words, we said, Jesus is very clear about this. Mm-hmm. He said, whatever you believe in your heart.
Yeah.
He did specify heart, spirit, not your head. You can get your prayers answered with doubt in your mind and belief in your heart. Because all that doubt in your mind is, I can't figure this out, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to.
That's it. That's what I was thinking. It's not knowing how he's going to do it. But the other, having faith is knowing that he will do it.
Right.
It's taking the it's out of it.
Yeah.
It just takes the if.
Mm-hmm. How long or...
I know.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, the reason we're doing this tonight is not to just have a history lesson of how this happened back then, but to use it to help ourselves today. Maybe we'll make some mid-course corrections here. I know I am. But God's showing me, Mike, if you really want me to get involved with your life, start learning how I think, learning how I operate, and get in line with that, and flow together. And you'll see things like you've never seen before. And so what I'm trying to do, I'll be honest with you, is learn how to flow with it. Mm-hmm. And as I read the Bible, I begin to see things that, you know, I always thought made a lot of sense to me to go to God and say, God, have mercy. Oh, God, what a mess I'm in. Take pity on me. God said, no, Mike. I need faith. I need some help here. Come on. You know what my word says? Say what my word says. What does my word say in this situation? Oh, Father, I feel so lousy. I feel miserable. I think I'm going to throw up. Start saying what my word says. What does my word say? Says that by Jesus' stripes I was. Start saying that. Start saying that. Start acting like it. Quit laying here feeling sorry for yourself. Get up, confess the word, tell the devil to take his hands off of you, and start walking through your day in faith. And you know, I've done that, and it just falls off. It does. This works today. It's exciting, I think. I just don't like to sit back and just walk through my Christian life, plodding along like everybody else in the world. My goodness, we got the greater one that lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in each one of our spirits, which is entirely different than any unbeliever has. There ought to be a difference, folks, between us and them. But the sad to say, we don't see it too much. But folks, if we'll get some of these things in our hearts and begin to act on them, we'll see these things in our lives just like they did then. This is not just a book for how they did it then. This is to help us today. Gee, you know, it's a little after 8. I still didn't get through all this, but would you like to pick up here again next week? There's about 2 or 3 more of these episodes just like this. They're even, maybe even better, I mean, in terms of illustrating this principle. Just really nail this down.
Yeah.
So when you do your homework this week, if you come to parts of the homework we haven't covered yet, just skip that. And I tried to put it in order how I was covering it. So when you get down through the man of the demon-possessed son, just stop there, and we'll pick up there in the homework. Okay? So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for what you're teaching us about our words tonight. We thank you, Lord, for quickening our spirits to the fact that the Word of God is living and alive today, Father. And if we'll just align ourselves up with your principles, Father, we'll have things change in our lives, Lord, like we've never experienced before, Father. I just notice in my heart that if we'll take some of these things we're talking about tonight and apply them to our lives, Lord, and begin to say what your word says about our situations that we're going through right now, instead of what the world says and what we said in the past, we'll see miracles done in our lives, Father, for you'll be able to establish a faith partnership with us, Father. and to work in our lives in ways you couldn't. So Father, as we go through our week this week, I ask you in Jesus' name that when a situation comes up in any of our lives this week, I ask you, Lord, to say, slow down. Stop. What does my word say in this situation? So we can do that. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
So let's go over the homework. We're only going to go over two accounts. Last week, we covered the woman with a demon-possessed daughter and the man with a demon-possessed son. Both of those cases, Jesus took the person who came to him with a rather negative approach, rather negative confession, and led them, not through overt coaxing like, say this, but just ask them a question or something to say something positive about their situation. Mm-hmm. And so let's answer these questions. In the case where the woman had the demon-possessed daughter, true or false? The woman appealed to Jesus' mercy to heal her demon-afflicted daughter. Is that true or false? True, isn't it? That's what she did. She says, have mercy on me. She came in there. So that's true. That's good. This helped Jesus heal her daughter. True or false?
False.
Didn't help him at all. Jesus told the woman with the demon-afflicted daughter that he couldn't help her because he was sent to the Jews. True or false?
That's true.
That's true, isn't it? She took him at his word, converted to Judaism, came back, and her daughter was healed. Well, my Bible says it. No, that's false. All right. A little humor there. Jesus wanted to see if he could lead her into saying something they could work, with to establish a faith partnership. True or false? That's true. Good. With Jesus' help, the woman finally said words that allowed Jesus to heal her daughter. True or false? That's true. Remember what she said? She finally said, true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I mean, he got her a little bit angry there after a while. But he had to get her off this have mercy business and this help me. If you can do anything, you know. And he finally did. And he said, woman, great is thy faith. And then he said this, for this saying, go thy way, thy daughter is healed. For this saying. Now, we're not, you know, I want to keep going back to this. We're not doing this just to study history of what Jesus did. We're studying this because this is something we can use today. We got to quit coming to the Lord with all this negativism, with all the problems and everything. We can explain what we want, but we need to give him something positive, some faith statement to work with. That's the point here, okay? Okay. Which one did I just finish? We got one more in that series there? Okay, we can also help God help us by saying words of faith about our situation. True or false?
Yes.
True. Good. All right, now we'll go on to the man with the demon-possessed son. The disciples could not cast out the dumb spirit because they didn't have authority. True or false?
False.
Good. Heard that strong from you, Thorpe. It's because he'd already, what we read last week, he'd given them that authority. If you go back two chapters, it says he gives them authority over unclean spirits and over evil spirits. So it wasn't like he was asking them to do something they didn't have power to do. They just looked at the situation, saw the kid throwing himself all around the place, trying to, foaming at the mouth and everything, and they went, ew, I don't know if we can handle this or not. See, they were looking, sort of like Peter did when he looked at the storm and he began to sink. They looked at the circumstances and their faith was low and they couldn't handle it. All right, the father asked Jesus to help if he could. True or false?
True.
He said, if you can do anything. Jesus turned the responsibility for faith back on the Father by saying, if you can believe, all things are possible. True or false?
True.
See, he turned it around. This guy was focusing on what Jesus could do. Lord, if you can, would you help? And Jesus said, look, fella, it's not me, it's you. Where's your faith? I mean, if you can believe, this is going to be possible. All right. The man saw this and said, I believe. True or false?
True.
He said, I believe. All right, so good. That's all we have tonight to cover. We'll get the rest of next week's homework. Good. I like this. There was some good, positive, sure-sounding answers from the group tonight. I like that.
gives me some faith that we're accomplishing something here.